The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The crowd came together again so that Jesus and his disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebub, and the ruler of the demons cast out demons." And he called them and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. But his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of eternal sin. For they had said, "He has unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those that sat around him, he said, "Here are my brother and my mother. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning, and please be seated. How do you define crazy? Well, I don't mean what makes you crazy. I mean, how do you define the word crazy? And it could be something that we want to understand today, especially as we hear so early on in the gospel, people calling Jesus crazy. They're calling him crazy, and I was wondering, why in the heck are they calling him crazy and out of his mind and the things that he's doing? Because when you call someone crazy, when you call somebody out of their mind, you're discrediting them, aren't you? You're kind of reducing their influence. You're reducing their ability to say something. You're kind of denigrating them. And this is what's going on in this particular kind of gospel. And it's precisely what they're doing to Jesus. It's not like they're saying in a small voice, "He's crazy." Or not like they're turning around and telling to each other, writing letters and saying that he's crazy. I mean, they're saying it out loud. They're saying it to each other. Even the family bought into it. You know, they have their sisters and brothers and mother that are coming in because according to Mark, Jesus had lost his mind. And so they want to go ahead and get him to at least straighten out and wonder why is it that he's going crazy. You may say you're going crazy to a friend, right? You may say, "Come on, don't be so crazy. We can't do that." But you ever feel like you've seen somebody that you say to yourself, "This guy's crazy." And then what you want to do is you want to tell somebody, you know, "Stay away from this guy. He is crazy." But what's happening here is that they are attacking Jesus. And in Jesus' case, the reason why they're attacking him is very interesting because he's doing something that we consider to be normal or good or fair or just. He's healing people. He's doing all kinds of stuff to help people. And in the midst of all of that, they're calling him crazy. And so they're trying to figure out what in the world is going on. What he's doing is he's breaking the rules. Last week we talked about breaking the rules for the sake of helping people, where, you know, he was healing people on the Sabbath. He helped a man who had a bad arm. And so they're angry with Jesus. They're saying he's not following what's going on. But the whole point of Jesus doing this stuff is because he's trying to demonstrate that the laws are good. The laws help us. The law guides us into things. But the law is not the end in itself. The law is a means towards what's going on. And he's trying to get these religious people, to go on and figure out that this is not the way that God wants them to do. So he heals everybody. And so the fact that he throws himself out to help people, to heal them and so forth, he gets criticized for it. Jesus is really challenged by the people who would prefer to follow rules. And these rules, unfortunately, have separated them, because with the rules, they're those who are in and those who are out. And Jesus is demonstrating to the people that love trumps any kind of rules. The love from God is much stronger, much greater than the rules that they set up. And for this very one thing, they're criticizing him. Just think how bizarre it sounds if I tell you that God loves everyone just the same. God doesn't love you any more than anybody else. That kind of throws you into an interesting thing, right? Or that every week when you come, you can come here and you will be forgiven. Isn't that great? Isn't that something that's beyond? And so when God, Jesus, says that he loves everybody, he means everybody. Not just because at that time they had people who were maimed. They had physical difficulties. People were blind. People were sick. Or people were with leprosy and all that. And they were divided. They were not allowed to be part of the community, part of the civilization. And so Jesus goes beyond the border and he reaches out to these people and he tells them that they are the children of God and he tells them that they're loved, that they're cared for. And this is why they're so upset with him. And so when people call Jesus crazy, the question is, are you crazy? Because indeed, if we're going to be following Jesus, we should be doing some of the stuff that he does, right? Maybe doing stuff today, especially where it's difficult, where we could look at migrant families and we can say to ourselves, is it really that bad to pull their kids away because of the law? Is the law the most important thing here before we look at what's happening with human relationships? You know, I think one of the things that really got them when Jesus was talking to them and they really decided to kill him was that because he took away their power to judge. He took away their power to be able to criticize people and say, you don't belong here, you're not one of us, or you don't follow the rules, and we're better than you. Jesus shut them up, in a sense, because he referred to God's endless love. And this is why they were so upset with him, because he didn't shut up about love. So the point I want to make is that, yeah, of course, in the end, they get Jesus. They crucify him, and they put him to death. But what happens is that he doesn't die, in a sense, forever. What he does is he's resurrected. And the point of the gospel is that the truth of justice and the truth of love and the truth that God is offering us always trumps any kind of rules. So this universal truth that Jesus has resurrected to continue to live out and to apply in the world is not one that will ever be silenced. And if you're crazy, maybe you're following in the same steps. Maybe you're taking issues that are on the boundaries of our society. Maybe you're looking at human interactions and maybe opening yourself up to understand them a little better. Now, if I ask you again, what really makes you think that people are crazy? You can say to yourself, well, somebody who I don't understand how they work, how they act. Certainly somebody who's in a political situation than I am, who's on the extreme side, that person must be crazy. Right? I'm assuming we're doing that today, right? So the person who you don't understand is a person that you consider to be crazy. But that is not the point that we're focusing on. The gospel doesn't focus on things that are different. The gospel points out that God is the God of all. And by doing that, God loves those differences, those people who are on the other side. Let me tell you one thing. If you were to draw a line on the ground and you say, me, or us and them, Jesus is always with them. Jesus is always on that side because he's trying to represent the people who are not in power, the people who are not who don't have a voice. And this is what we have to remember, that God is a God of everything. He's the God of all, both contradictions, both ambiguity, the good and the bad, the clean and the ugly. God is a God of all. And for us to see that is to give us then the patience and understanding and the openness to try to deal with that difference. And the gospel and the Jewish idea was to separate, even though they did it with the intent of worshiping God and loving God. They inadvertently separated between those who are righteous and unrighteous, those who deserve God and those who don't deserve God. And so when Jesus saw that, he stepped in. He stepped right in the middle and he said, no. It's about caring about each other. It's about loving each other, about lifting each other up, because they are all loved just as much as you. There's a wonderful phrase that says, all the rivers that go towards the sea, no matter which way they take, there may be cataracts, there may be slow rivers, there may be through streams. When they go into the ocean, they are the same water. When we go to heaven, when we get to God, we're all the same. So what makes us so different that we think we're better than each other? What is it about our religious practice that we believe is the demarcation of our own value against somebody else's? And that's why Jesus was such a strong presence and such a strong argument for his people at that time. That's why he was so dangerous. He was telling them all the children of God, all are equal to God's love, and all deserve everything that God is giving everyone. But we still do it today, don't we? We still do it through economic means. We still do it through, you know, age. How about ageism? Have you heard that lately? From the 20s to the 45s, they've got it made. I mean, this is what the world is all about, isn't it? When you move out of 50, you're in trouble because you begin to hit that part of the section where people don't want to deal with you. You're like in the senior citizen realm, right? But that's not the case. The case with God's love is that everybody is the same, and we're all part of one big dynamic that comes and flows through life. But why do we do that? Why is it our tendency to divide things and say, this is not as good as I think? Why do we judge? Why do we make that determination that something is not good? And this is inherent in us, and this is a discipline that we have to practice, that we have to make effort to not do, not judge. Now, what if that person is just a little slow when they talk, a little slow when they... I'll bet you when you get on the highway today and you're driving and somebody's a little slow, you're going to freak out. You're going to like, why is he so slow? You want to just go around him or hit the horn and, you know, and speed around him. But why can't you just go with the flow? Do you ever go with the flow? There's an inherent movement. There's a dynamic. There's a vitality in the flow of things. Life is a dynamic. And we respond to it. We can go with it. And if you go with it, you are part of the larger reality. If you separate yourself from it, you are separate from it. And you have to live against it, or you have to fight against it. You see, this is an interesting point to see everything connected in a sense. Everything has a vitality and a flow that we are all part of some project, some dynamic, some bigger artifice that God is creating in the world. And Jesus, again, is reminding us that we're part of that. We're only part of it. Bill, God doesn't love you any better than Priscilla. He doesn't love you any better than Diane. Now, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with that idea that God loves you all the same? And then why do we judge each other? Why do we say that we're better than, or that person is less than? You see, that's a hard thing for us to work with and live with in our everyday life. Because I tell you, we think those thoughts. I think them too, believe it or not. Okay? And it's a fight you have to have with yourself. You have to keep calling yourself to attention and to realization that, you know, everybody has a story. Everybody has an angle. Everybody has a meaning. Everybody has a pain. Everybody has a wonderful part of them. And for us to see that is, and to engage that, then you get that person. Then you get the real essence of that individual. So Jesus is telling us, look, you know, wherever it ends up, on the law, between law and love, love is going to win. Love is going to win, because that's what has allowed this religion and this truth to endure. Not power, not righteousness, not truth, you know, not any elegant theories. Love, simple love. That is the basis of who we are. And with that alone comes the reality of God and the complexity of this beautiful life that we have together. Amen.